the dustiest, the winds are the gustiest, the gates are the rustiest, the pies are the crustiest, the song's the lustiest, the friend's the trustiest way back home.
Back home.
The trees are the sappiest, the day.
Welcome to the third dun-dun-dun-dun podcast of Shortwave Weekly. I am your host, Chris Freitas. This week, we'll be telling you some interesting topics, starting off with the possible end of the publication for Passport to World Band Radio, and what that means for you, the shortwave listener. I recently read in one of the magazines, Modern Times, that Passport to World Band Radio is in limbo for the 2010 edition, and there is a possibility that future publications may no longer be in production, according to their website as well. That information by the publication basically no longer, there probably won't be any more production for this book. And what that means for shortwave listeners is not only will you be losing a good publication that monitors shortwave stations, but you'll have to find another book or resource. If that has been your only resource, you'll have to find another source to get all your current information. So what listeners should look out for now for current updates, and these are still in publication, they're not in limbo. First recommendation is the World TV Radio Handbook. And I personally have not read this book, but I figure a lot of people give it good reviews, and it's very comprehensive. I haven't been able to find it in Memphis. Hopefully they will send it our way eventually, but you can also find it online through their website, through Amazon.com, also you could probably find this book through various other shortwave vendors that are online or anywhere else that may sell shortwave radios. Also, there are two other publications to note. There is Popular Communications and also Modern Times. Both of these magazines can be found at Barnes & Noble or any of your local bookstores, a big bookstores like here close to Memphis, close to the University of Memphis, is Bookstar, and which is owned by Barnes & Noble, so they have a lot of books related on that matter as well. They even sold Passport to World Band Radio, but it looks like that may no longer be in production as of right now, or indefinitely. I will give you more news on that once it becomes available. Another big topic, which is something really important for shortwave listeners, is the new propagation season for the winter 2009-2010 season. And what that means for you, the shortwave listener, well, just through experience, shortwave signals and reception certainly gets a lot better, mainly because since there are shorter days, longer nights, the sun's no longer out so much, which is not really putting too much emittance on the ionosphere, which will allow signals to travel further, let them be able to reflect more or better. Lower frequencies will be able to be heard much, much better. So, and they'll be able to, the signals be able to travel further. So reception is going to get better. If it's one thing about winter I like, no, it's not the snow. Snow is fine as long as it cancels, you know, school and work and whatnot. But one thing about the winter is that shortwave signals do get better, and you're able to pick up a lot more stations in the wintertime than what you will do in the summertime. At least here in the Northern Hemisphere, in that case. Southern Hemisphere is going to change differently because Southern Hemisphere is going to be summer there. So places like in South America, Africa, or Australia, their signals are going to get, they're going to get, the reception's not going to be as good as it is going to be in the Northern Hemisphere with North America, parts of Central America, and Europe and Asia. So, good time for us, I guess. You know, as long as we can deal with the cold air that will be accompanying us in months to come, we will be having better reception. And because of this change in reception, because of the change in the season, many shortwave stations will be changing their frequencies. They do this at least twice a year, and they'll be doing it again at the end of this month or in November, but more oftentimes they'll do it at the end of the end of October, or may start maybe a week before then. It depends, but generally they start right at October 30th or 31st. And so if you want to find out more current information on frequency changes, it is time to keep up to date with these things. Visit shortwave station websites. Go to those websites. If you don't get current subscriptions to their program guides through the mail or on your email address, you may want to visit those websites. But there's a better way also to check on that, and I've mentioned this on previous episodes, Primetime Shortwave. Primetime Shortwave has a comprehensive listing of shortwave frequencies that change, and they update this very, very frequently when they get new information. So, primetimeshortwave.com, visit that, click on the region that where you live, and they'll have a listing of up-to-date shortwave frequencies. And that's one way. You can also pick up the magazines that I mentioned, Monitoring Times and Popular Communications. They have those updated every month, so you can check those out as well. Or you can listen to the other DX programs on shortwave, like DX Party Line and World of Radio. Those are very good programs, especially if you want to hear more news about frequency changes or DX frequencies that other listeners may supply to the announcers there that work on these programs. And that's pretty much new propagation season. I know from experience, shortwave definitely gets a lot better now. It will start getting better until probably right after the winter solstice. Once that ends on December 21st, shortwave receptions can tend to get a little bit worse. Just a little bit worse, because days will be coming longer after that, because winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. But they won't be so bad until about summertime. Summertime is the worst time for shortwave listening, but at least now things will be getting better. And that does it with the propagation season for this year and upcoming 2010. And another topic I want to refer to, the death of shortwave radio. There's been a lot of talk about shortwave stations now that are no longer broadcasting or are thinking about abandoning shortwave. And so that brings up to a lot of questions for listeners if they want to keep supporting this hobby, or why should they keep listening if other stations are just going to quit broadcasting on shortwave to North America, or just quit, period. I recently wrote an article for a class assignment on this particular subject, and from base of what I read, yeah, there is a reduction of shortwave stations, and that's not going to change. More stations, I believe, as years goes on, as technology improves, I think more stations will probably reduce its presence, at least in more developed nations like the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, you name it. They will possibly end their broadcast, at least on shortwave, but doesn't mean that shortwave is dead. I honestly believe that shortwave would still be alive, just not as it's not going to have a big of a presence here. But that doesn't mean that shortwave will die. In fact, there are other nations around the world that still rely on shortwave as the primary means of communication, and it's also very advantageous of shortwave because, unlike the internet, shortwave can't be censored or any other form of communication. Shortwave can't really be censored unless it's coming from a government that is hosting the shortwave station and they can control it, but when it's other signals that are being propagated to a certain region, those can't be regulated, at least by the other countries that they're being these broadcasts are being targeted to. And listen, they can try to stop the sale of shortwave sets. They can try to do that, but some people will still be able to get a hold of them. And it, and also other countries, like in Africa primarily, shortwave is still pretty big because it's the only form of communication that some people can have. And it's cheap. It's cheaper to for some broadcasters to use shortwave than all these other means of communication because maybe they don't have a big budget to support podcasting or internet streaming or FM simulcasts. And shortwave is their only venue. And also, there are also a lot of shortwave stations that haven't quite moved on with the whole internet scene. Radio Taiwan International, they have podcasts of their news, and they have internet streaming, but their core broadcasting is on shortwave. And that's the only place, pretty much, at least here in North America, that you can only hear it, aside from the internet. And so, having that shortwave radio is still beneficial. And not only that, even there are still even shortwave stations that have long since ended their broadcasting to the United States, to Canada, to Mexico, that are still can be heard. I can give you an example. Deutsche Welle, they ended their broadcasts about 2001, right about the same time the BBC ended theirs. Well, you can still hear them in North America. And the way you do that, you tune into the West African transmissions. And Deutsche Welle has a list of frequencies on their website, or you can find it on one of the publications. But you can still hear them. In fact, they are on, at least right now, they're on 0400 UTC. Not quite sure what the frequency is as of now, because it's about to change, most likely, but I'm able to hear them in the late afternoon here in Memphis, and a fairly decent signal. And I've even posted a video of this online on the Facebook page, and you can listen, and if you're a member of Facebook, if you're a member of the Shortwave Weekly group, you can look at this video and just have an example of how well it sounds. And this is coming, this is a transmission that is not geared to the United States. This is a transmission that's geared to Africa. And so how are you able to hear it? Well, shortwave signals can travel much further than where they're being targeted to. And, I mean, given the right conditions, they can travel even much, much further. And so, is it possible to hear other stations that you would normally not broadcast here? Absolutely. In fact, yesterday I heard Radio Australia very loud and clear. It was 6 o'clock in the morning here in Memphis, or 1100 UTC. Heard it loud and clear in Memphis. And that is being broadcast to the Pacific and Southern Asia. That is, I have to believe, really awesome. And it came in really loud and clear, at least for the first 30 minutes. And then it started to fade it off, but you could still hear them pretty decently after that. And so, I really stress it enough, don't quit listening to shortwave just because a trend of these signal of these shortwave stations are leaving shortwave. Keep listening to them, if you can. or maybe find other stations that you might want to find, because there's still a multitude of stations that are out there for your shortwave listening needs and pleasures. So I recommend doing that. But the trend is still going to continue. There will be less shortwave stations. There are going to be more digital methods that these broadcasters use. And it's still possible to listen to these. And now, even now with the internet, it is getting more portable. Web radio is getting more portable. They could be on laptop PCs, but they could be found. You can even hear web streaming audio on a PlayStation Portable as a gaming device. A gaming device that has a multitude of functions, and one of those functions is internet radio. And you can listen to international broadcasters on a little gaming device. You can also hear it on your iPhone or iPod Touch or on your BlackBerry. It's becoming a lot more convenient, and internet now has become more portable than what it's ever been in at least 10 years. No one ever thought that they would be surfing the web on a little device that's about 2 inches wide. It is amazing how technology has come a long way. And you also have stations now, they're doing simulcasts on local FM and AM stations, and you have XM, and then you have podcasting. Hey, what do you know? This is a podcast. I mean, if you have the internet, you obviously have the internet if you're hearing this podcast, or at least you have access to it. So other stations have started moving towards that, like Radio Netherlands. They've been using podcasts regularly. They ended their transmissions to North America last year. Yeah, I was a bit devastated about that, but I'm still able to hear them because they are still doing their presence on podcasting and internet streaming. So, like, even if you can't hear them on shortwave and they still broadcast on it to Africa and Asia, you can try to tune into those frequencies. I have tried, but I can't seem to get it very well, at least here in my house at 1800 UTC. I can't get it very well, at least inside my home. I can get it outside, or if I was walking around someplace where there's less interference. But yeah, that is, you're still, you can still hear these frequencies, but even if you can't hear them on shortwave, use podcasting. It's pretty helpful. If you like the programs and if they're on podcasting, be my guest. Honestly, as I have to say it, they have better audio quality. And you can time manage your listening pleasure. I mean, but there are also disadvantages to it. Also, I mean, if I can listen to it on shortwave, I can. If I can't, well, there are other methods. So, all in all, shortwave isn't going to be dead. In fact, you have DRM that's coming up, still being developed. Still a lot of politics behind it, still. Still waiting for more portable receivers to come out, more cheaper portable receivers to come out. Personally, though, since there's the internet and podcasting, I really don't see a need for DRM, at least here in the States. You can call me an idiot or whatever on this subject, but I am saying, if I want to listen to something that's really high quality, that comes on at a specific time, a limited time, it's still being worked out, and it's a very expensive receiver, I might as well just listen to the webcast on my iPod, because I already have the device, and it was probably a lot cheaper than a DRM receiver, because I'm looking at DRM receivers right now, and it's ridiculous on the amount of the cost on those things. And I've also heard that there's a lot of issues with reception, so why not use a podcast instead? But that's just me. I'd rather listen to a regular shortwave broadcast than listen to DRM. But that's my spiel about DRM, and that's my spiel on the death of shortwave. And moving on to a more lighter note here, Halloween. Yes, Halloween is this Saturday, and I will be going out of town tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Hopefully, where I'm going, outdoors, I'm going in the great outdoors, and tomorrow looks like there's going to be rain. It's been raining a lot here in Memphis. So much rain. I really wish we don't have any more rain. We had enough. Let it go somewhere else that needs it. Like Florida, for instance. They need a lot more rain than we do here in Memphis. In fact, there's a lot of flooding. But I digress. But Halloween, keep your ear tuned to some very interesting programs that might be available on shortwave. Now, I can't say which interesting programs are going to be available. Keep it at least tuned this week, throughout this week, and on Saturday, at least Saturday Memphis time, or Sunday UTC, or even Saturday UTC. Keep your ears tuned out. There might be some very interesting programs on radio. In general, there was some reference to Modern Times about these Halloween programs. They made reference to War of the Worlds from the H.G. Wells War of the Worlds by Orson Welles, the original 1930s edition of War of the Worlds that scared people senseless on that fateful night. It caused a lot of panic, but still a very classic program. You can find this probably online, free to download, various websites. Just Google it, World of Worlds. You'll find it. I'm sure you'll find it. If people could find whole albums of free albums online using Google, you can find World of Worlds. But not just World of Worlds, there might be some other Halloween-related programs, spooky programs, supernatural type. I can think one at the top of my head, if you're an AM listener, Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast AM. Listen to that, not just throughout the week, but listen to it on tomorrow. I don't think they have a broadcast on the weekends, but listen to it this week. I'm sure there's going to be something interesting that you might hear on Coast to Coast. There's also was some talk about in the magazine about pirate radio shows related to Halloween, maybe some spooky music or replays of old radio shows that are Halloween inspired or supernatural-esque. You know, just if you're a big DXer and you like listening to pirate or amateur radio, keep it tuned in this weekend. You might find something there. And also the major international broadcasters might have something very, very special this weekend. So just keep your ears tuned to that. Being Halloween and all, I'm sure there's something. I'm sure there's something that's going to be pretty entertaining and very enjoyable. And now, here is a clip from Radio Taiwan International with the show People.
The sound of the Amis tribe on Radio Taiwan International.
Hi, I'm John Saronic. I'm the general manager of Taiwan.
我是罗云平, 84岁.
Hi, I'm Iris. I'm 26.
我是刘建华, 36岁.
我是林碧文,
大家好, 我是庄新雅, 我今年10岁.
Listen to the voices of Taiwan on People. People.
Welcome to People. I'm Shirley Lin. And today I have with me in the studio Jason Guo.
who's a very prominent English teacher here in Taiwan, who is a consultant for business English and a trainer for 100-some English teachers. Is that right?
Yes, Shirley. Hello, everybody. This is Guo Yi, Jason, E.T. Jason. Thank you.
Okay, by the way, why is it E.T. Jason? You may think of that movie, E.T.
Yeah, that's a very good question. E.T. does not refer to extraterrestrial. Actually, it refers to English teacher, Jason. That's me, Guo Yi. Thank you.
I never thought of that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, Jason, you're a very bubbly person, and you actually have your own blog.
Yes,
and
I do.
It's called Da Ying Wang Guo,
exactly.
Which is the English name is English Kingdom.
Yes.
You know what? Before we go into all this, the things that you do so professionally, we want to get to know you. What's your background like? You know, I understand you grew up hating English.
Yes, exactly. You know what? In Taiwan, I'm from the countryside. I never learned English till like 12 years old. Where other kids learned English starting like 2 years old. And I never touched English until I was in junior high school. I didn't want to study, and I was lazy, so I really hated English when I first got in touch with it. And my English teacher really hated me in the beginning.
Oh, that is too bad when you're not favored by the teacher. So then what happened?
I felt frustrated, but my English teacher, Mrs. Lai, did not give up on me.
Oh, well, good for
things,
her.
Yeah, she was my first English teacher and also the best one in my life.
Really?
She did not dislike me for having bad grade, bad score. She tried to help me even after class, and that has a very big influence on me.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Because you said that you used to get like 30 on your English test till...
Yeah.
Later, you actually got a full score on, I don't know, how did that happen? From 30 points to 100 or even like above?
Yes, I think the point is to build...
And that does it with this episode of Shortwave Weekly. Thank you for downloading this podcast. Next episode will be available probably next week, episode number 4. And I would like to, I didn't get onto this today, but... I will talk more about the Sony ICF SW7600GR receiver. I currently use that for my shortwave listening needs, and I'm going to give you a little personalized review. And also maybe some more shortwave news information. Oh, definitely want to touch on Radio Netherlands next episode. They got some very interesting programs that are coming up. If you tune into the African Asian transmissions, or listen to them online through podcasts or web stream. These programs, there's some new programs available for listening. You can even check these out right now if you want to go ahead and check them out on www.rnw.nl. And you can check those out on their website. Or listen to my next podcast. I'll give you somewhat of an in-depth shortwave guide. That's all coming to you next week. And if you want more information about Shortwave Weekly, you can visit the website, which is sort of just a relay of what I'm going to talk about on the podcast. That is www.shortwaveweekly.blogspot.com. You can also visit our Facebook page. Just type in Shortwave Weekly in the search bar, and... you can become a member, and you can post some information that you could post photos, videos, or maybe some discussion topics, or just leave a comment. Whatever you feel you want to discuss, you can put it there on the Shortwave Weekly Facebook page. Also, if you want to contact me, you can by email, and the email address, chrisfreitas2003@yahoo.com. This is Chris Freitas, and thank you for tuning in to Shortwave Weekly. Please join us next time.